You're listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Hey, welcome back, creative hustler. I'm so glad that you're here. You're listening to Jai, and today, I don't know if you know this, but I personally love sales. I love sales so much because it's the lifeblood of my business. And you know what? I haven't told you this, but I'm actually going to start pivoting my content this year towards more sales heavy content for a few different reasons. One is, I want to normalize sales for creatives in 2024 and get creatives excited about making sales to their clients and to people that love what they're doing. I actually think the sales aspect of our business is like the little bridge that we need to put out there so our client can go from where they were and then bridge across to where they are now with you and with your solution and your service and your products and all of that good stuff. Now, often a lot of educators, a lot of people out there, whenever there's a big problem, we give advice of like, we need to do more marketing, you need to show up and do more reels. And it's just like, I would say like marketing is the most hyped thing that people talk about when it comes to business. But guess what? A business without sales is not a business, it's a hobby. And no matter how much attention you get, we need to be able to make sure that we can monetize and we can bring in some income. So I do have a lot of friends that have literally millions of followers on TikTok and Instagram, and they just cannot pay their bills. And so followers doesn't equal sales. You need to actually show up and learn sales, which is really cool. And you know what? The cool thing is, it's not as hard as you think. And of course, we're going to take the salesy out of sales as well and make it as easy and seamless as possible. I've said this and I always say this, but sales literally is you being the best version of yourself. If you can be the best version of yourself, then you will show up and you'll make the sale and people will be sold on you. And that's all it takes. Now, the things that I'm going over today, nothing is like sleazy strategies or anything. It's just us getting dialed in and making sure that we're using the right language when we're speaking with our clients. So today's episode is specifically on actually like us speaking with our clients. The reason why I say that is because sales obviously comes across on your website, in your copy, in your captions, on your reels. Like, you know, there's objections. There's so many things when it comes to sales, like literally so many things. So I'm talking about the specific niche little thing of how do we actually speak to our clients when we're there in a client meeting, on a phone call, on a Zoom call, even in our emails and things like that. But like mostly like how do we deliver the message to them and get them to feel compelled and ready to buy something from us or sign up to your services or have you do the thing that they want to do. Really, really important. Before we get into today's episode, don't forget, if you leave the podcast a review, you can do that on Apple Podcast app and just take a screenshot, send it to me at jailong.co and you'll be in the running to win a one-on-one session with me, 45-minute session this month or next month. And I can go over your business and your sales process and everything else personally. And so that will be a lot of fun. If you do want to share the podcast, it's the only way that we actually grow. So if you do enjoy this episode, all that we ask is you just screen share this, screenshot, put it on your favorite social media platform and share it with the world. And make sure you tag me at jailong.co so I can come and say hello as well. It's the only way that it does share. And we want to make sure that everyone's out there and they're leveling up and no one's getting stuck or left behind. So if you want to help me, we don't ask for sponsorships or anything like that on this podcast. And so this is the way that we want to be able to grow. And if you can help us hit that goal, I'm going to be forever thankful. So let's get into today's episode. Okay, so let's get started. We're going to talk about 10 different things that we need to go over when we are like actually speaking with our clients. But first of all, what is sales? Why is it so important? Well, a lot of people get sales and marketing and brand really confused. A lot of people think for some reason that their brand is sales. And, you know, if they've got a better brand, better logo, or the way that they speak in their brand, then they're probably going to make more sales. Or they think like, I'm not getting any sales, so I just need to get some more views on YouTube and some more views on TikTok and more views on things. And they very much get very confused with marketing and advertising and then sales. So we're always selling something. Like I always say, even in advertising or marketing, we're always selling something. We're selling the fact that we want them to follow us. So that will be a sale. If I have got a Facebook ad out there in the world, all I'm doing is I'm selling the click. So I need them to click on it. I'm not trying to sell all my services and everything from an ad. I'm just trying to sell the click over to my sales page, and my sales page is going to do the rest. So sales are everywhere. The captions on my websites, the sales copy on your website, the first email when people contact you, you know, to book your services. Like, it's literally everywhere. And we as creatives, for some reason, feel like it's not that important. Now, I used an analogy like this not too long ago, and it helped with my photography community. But in the photography community, and if you're not a photographer, this probably won't resonate with you, but if you're going to take photos with your camera, there's three main settings, and it's the aperture triangle, right? So you've got your ISO, you've got your shutter speed, and you've got your aperture. And each one of those can change, and if it changes, you need to change the other, and they're all really important. They all do different things, and they all create a perfect exposure and the perfect image, but they're all really important. And so in business, everyone usually does, like, so if I'm a business coach, listen to this. People come to me and they're like, oh, Jai, I really love pricing, and I'm always obsessing over marketing, but then I hate sales. And it doesn't make any sense, because you need all three, and all three need to change, and they've got to work together to make a perfect exposure, to make the perfect sale. It's kind of like someone coming to you that wants to learn photography and they say, like, I just don't want to learn aperture. I just don't like it. So when someone comes to me, I'm like, yeah, I understand you don't like sales, but it's a really important part of the process. And I just, you will not feel empowered until you know all aspects of your business. And in fact, I would honestly say that sales is the most important thing in your business. You ain't got no sales, you ain't got no business. Unfortunately, you can literally have a business with no marketing and you still got a business as long as you're making sales. You can have a business with no website, as long as you're making sales, you got a business. So you can't really say that with anything else. So I do believe that sales is the most important thing. Now let's get into it. How do you speak that language? Well, number one, this one's really simple. This one does go across with copywriting, but it's also when you're speaking with people, but it's using the I language, like the I and the me language, instead of that beautiful word, you. You know, so whenever I'm speaking to somebody, instead of saying, you know, I do this and I'm a documentary wedding photographer and I am the business coach and I'm, you know, and it's me and it's I'm and I won the awards and I do a great job and you won't even notice me and my style is this. We talk so much about ourselves and we forget about the person in front of us, and people love it when they hear themselves. In fact, if you could say their name, it's even better. But if you're speaking, for instance, I might change something up here. Let's say I'm a wedding photographer and I like to say I am a documentary wedding photographer. Instead of me saying like I am this, I would word that where it's you are here because you're looking for a documentary wedding photographer. Am I right? And then they'll say, oh yeah, that's exactly. Well, you're in the right place. Okay, so I would word it so it's always about them. So you are, do you, you know, so and talk about them. Now, this is the same as like on your first email that you write back to people, on your website. Man, if I go on someone's website and everyone just talks about themselves, which most people do, I would say like 95%, especially in the wedding photography industry, if I audit websites, it's all like, I do this, I'm a documentary, I'm based here, I'm that, I'm this. And I understand that we all want to quickly have a moment to speak about ourselves, but we forget about the person that's actually reading it. And they want to be included. And they want everyone wants everything about themselves. So in sales, for us to do an effective job, let's give that to the person. Like, let's make them center of attention. Let's give them the spotlight. And if we can do that, then we're going to win the sale. If you want to notch it up a little bit more, using their name and often is really going to help as well. So it just shows that you know them. People love hearing their own names. Like, it's something that like always resonates. And it shows that you care. And I think that is like a really important thing. So swap out the me and I language and then put in the you and your language. If you can look over your website, especially your first initial email, and you can cut out any I's, you're going to be changing the game for yourself. And honestly, this one strategy has made people go from like not making any money, like inside the business map, to making like up to $50,000 per month as a wedding photographer, just by changing that one little bit of language. So I wouldn't underestimate that. And I've got tons of case studies to prove it. And in fact, if you want some, you can just DM me at jailong.co and I can send you screenshots. Like, it's the game changer. So number two is what we're trying to do. So a lot of people show up and they're trying to persuade and they're trying to sell. So it doesn't make any sense. Like, people don't like to be sold to and people don't like to be persuaded, to be honest. Like, people hate that. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to guide. Now, what you're trying to do is, if you think about guiding someone to something, I'm trying to guide someone to the best case scenario when they come to me. So for instance, if someone comes to me for me to be their business coach, I'm not trying to sell them my program, or I'm not trying to persuade them to buy my program, because both of those things will leave them feeling like Jai is a sleazy salesperson and they just didn't understand me. Instead, what I'll do is I'll guide them to what's the best product that's going to get them the best results. And by doing that, by default, I have to start asking them some questions. So a question could be, what is it that you're looking for? What's those dreams? How are you thinking about you going to execute that? Okay, and then I'll get some feedback. So you're thinking about Facebook ads, you're thinking about that. Well, based on what you just said, I do have a product that will work for those things. And this one product here is the best product to get you those results that you want in that time frame. How does that sound? You know, so I will guide them because they came to me for a sale. Don't forget this. When someone comes to you and they send you an inquiry, like if someone sends me an inquiry and says, Jai, I'd love to join the six-figure business map, it would be silly of me to not get excited about them joining the six-figure business map and then say like, oh, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to like send them a link. I don't want to say how good it is. You know, I don't want to. But when someone comes to you, you've got to match their energy. Matching their energy is you literally going, oh, you're excited about my program? Let's go. I am equally as excited to work with you. Okay, so if you met them and go like, oh, I don't want to be doing sales though. Like, I don't want to come across like, you know, I'm taking your money off you or anything. You're going to lose the game because nobody wants to buy from somebody like that. You're instilling fear into them, not instilling confidence. And people need confidence to make a decision. They want to make sure they're making the right decision. People don't want buyer's remorse. So it's really important to match their energy. Okay, so when we're guiding people, like remember, you are the professional, like whatever it is that you do. When I was a wedding photographer, someone came in through my door, of course I'm going to try and sell to them because I'm the professional. They came through and they'll say, Jai, here's my budget. This is what I'm looking for and this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, good. Based on that budget, based on what you're thinking, this is what we can do. And this is the best case scenario. This is a little bit less and this is something that we can compromise on if you want to go a cheaper budget. How does that sound to you? You know, so I know that they're excited. They want to spend money. People are going to spend money regardless if they're going to spend it with you or not. They're going to spend money. Okay. They're going to go to somebody else that can sell to them. So it's really important that we get into that mind frame of like, they're there, they walk through the door, they send us an inquiry, then they're excited and they want to spend some money. So let's make that process exciting, not try and make it feel weird because we're weird about accepting money. Just a side note on that one. Number three is questions to ask with the answer yes. It's really important that you bring positivity to an interaction when somebody is going to purchase off you. I have sat through client meeting calls. So, you know, with a lot of my mentors that I've worked with over the years, like I've sat in and actually listened, or they've recorded some of their Zoom calls where they've had a meeting with a client and they've sent it to me. And sometimes it's tragic, like absolutely tragic. And because it's so negative. And one way that it gets negative is if you ask questions that answer in no. So what I mean by that is you could ask a question, if you're a wedding photographer, for example, you could ask a question like, are you looking for cheesy photos? And they're going to say, well, no. And they're like, oh yeah, good, because that's not what I do. Or if you're a musician, you're like, are you looking for me to just play Ed Sheeran all night? And they're like, well, no. You're like, good, you know, because that's not what I do. And so we lead these questions that answer to no. And what happens is you anchor the word no. And so by default, you shouldn't be surprised at the very end when they say no to your prices and no to your services. So what we want to do is we want to get excited and get them to say yes. Like, are you looking for beautifully posed photos of you guys that everyone's going to love? Yes. Are you looking for a playlist that gets everybody on the dance floor, even grandma with the broken hip? Yes. You know, so it's like you want them to say yes, 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 hell yes, let's do it. Okay. So are you ready to book me in? Yes. And by the end, with that yes word over and over, it's going to be an easy yes when it comes to the sale and you're asking for that sale. It's the same as on your website. It's the same as literally anywhere. Sometimes I like read people's emails, their initial inquiry emails, and then the response back. And I've got to say, the word tragic is an understatement. Of just like the questions that people ask are answers with no, or how they're instilling so much fear into their clients they don't even realize. And then they come to me and go, Jai, someone ghosted me. What do you think? And I'm like, oh. What I get worried about is like, how long have you been doing this for? Because you're leaving money on the table. We need to get this fixed. Okay. So never Ask questions that answer in no. Always ask questions that answer in yes, and anchor the word yes for your clients so they feel like you're a yes person and everything is just easy with you. Number four, never use the word but. This one's a really important one. It's so subtle, and these are all just language subtle things. I think it's just really important. But an example of this is if someone comes to you and they're like, one of your competitors are just a little bit cheaper, Joe, what do you say about that? And you go, yeah, but do they have years of experience? Yeah, but do they have my website? Yeah, but do they have my style? Like whatever it is. And the problem is with the word but is you are disagreeing with them and you're putting a barrier up, and it makes it really hard because it's confrontational. It's like, I don't agree because here's a different point of view. Now, instead of doing that, every time that you need to say a but, let's change it. So here's an example. If someone said to me, Jai, your services are just a little bit more expensive than your competitors. What do you think? And then I could say back, yeah, I agree. Like, what do you think that the competitors have that I don't have? And what is it that you need? You know, and so what results do you need and what time frame? Oh, okay. And how willing are you to get that? And they're like, yeah, really willing. Okay, well, let's go. And then I'll go back into the conversation again. Okay, so I acknowledge what they have said to me. I'm not going to say but. And then I will bring the conversation back around to the conversation that we were originally having, but making sure that they're heard and listened and I'm not just saying but all the time. You know, no one wants to hear, but I'm going to do a great job for you. But if someone gets in the way, you know, I'm going to do a great job, but you got to pay the deposit first. You know, we don't want to use the word but because it really does. It's just not a good word. Think about the flow of your language. And if you're trying to build trust, you're trying to make a friend from your client, and then you're sitting there with buts, almost like a but almost sounds like a no. It's just like it's like a brick wall. You don't want no brick walls when you're trying to do your sales. Okay. You want it to be easy, free flowing, graceful, fun, exciting, energetic. Like, these are the things that we want, and but doesn't sit there anywhere. Number five, which is very similar, but it's, and I shouldn't say the word but, always agree. It's really simple, but you need to always agree. Now, this may sound like a sleazy sales tactic, of course, but hear me out. I mean, sorry, not but. Well, I've got to stop using that word. Hear me out. Agreeing keeps the conversation going. Disagreeing stops the conversation and it turns it into a confrontation. So someone might say to me, Jai, your prices are just too high. They're out of my budget. My response was, yeah, I agree. It's expensive to hire a photographer. It's expensive to hire a business coach. It's expensive to buy the six-figure business map. I agree. It really is. You know, some of my clients, they're saving for years. Some of my clients go on payment plans. Some of my clients, you know, they wish they can be in here, but they're not in here yet, but they're going to be joining soon. I agree. It is really expensive. And that's why, one of the reasons why we get a lot of results in our thing. That's one of the reasons why my wedding photography looks so good. That's one of the reasons why I'm able to DJ at that party. It's one of the reasons why. You know, and so you're, instead of saying, yeah, but, and disagreeing, my prices are so high because I've got bills to pay, like no one wants to hear that. So agreeing with them, and they're always going to say things that you don't like. Another example of this is you need to know, like, what's the difference between a complaint and an objection. And a complaint, for instance, is like if someone comes out to give you a pizza and the pizza's $30, you might complain about that. You're not objecting. You'll still buy the pizza, but you might say like, "Wow, the pizza's expensive." Okay. If someone says to you, "Oh, the pizza's expensive," that waiter, waitress, whoever's selling to you, like, they need to say, "Yeah, I agree. Pizza is expensive. It's one of the best in the county. It's one of the, you know, this pizza is lovingly handmade. The chef's been out there all afternoon. We got the tomatoes coming in from Italy. Like, this is going to be an amazing experience for you. What wine would you like to pair with this pizza? I can got some suggestions." Okay. I mean, you agreed that it's expensive. It's expensive. That people want to spend on expensive things, man. Like, it's not like people don't want to spend on expensive things. And sometimes we like to complain. So allow your clients to complain. Like, complaining is a very normal thing and it's very different to an objection. It's just that if you think that an objection and complaint is the same thing, you're going to start trying to work on the objection when they didn't even object. They're still going to buy. So often someone will say to me like, Jai, it's a little bit expensive. I'm like, I know, it really is. It's a big investment. Do you want to pay on credit card or like, is this payment plan? What are you thinking here? You know, and so I let them complain with them. Yes, everything's so expensive right now. It's wild. I went out the other day. I mean, you think $30 for a pizza. I went out the other day and I paid $30 just for some ice cream. Like, I couldn't even believe it. The world we live in. Is this credit card or like how are we doing this? Splitting bill, right? And so we complain with our clients. Of course, you got to meet them with the same energy that they have. I think this is really, really important. And it just means we always agree. Now, always agreeing doesn't mean that you're lying or you're going to say something that you don't mean, all right? Like something that goes against you. So for instance, someone might say, let's say a photography example. They might say, okay, so Jai, we want you to shoot a group photo and it's going to be a love heart shape with lots of people at our wedding day and it's going to be epic. It's going to be under the tree. I'm not going to disagree with them. Okay. I'm going to say, wow, that sounds amazing. Like I agree. We should shoot an epic group photo. Tell me a little bit more why you want that love heart. And then I'll get them speaking. And then once they go through everything, I'll bring them around to something different. Look, I agree. I think we need to have a really group, big group photo, and I think it should be epic. Under that tree, like, I think that could really work, but I'm going to give you a different perspective. Under the tree is going to be really hard at that time of the day, and doing a love heart means we're going to have to get a boom lift for me to get up high, or we're going to have to fly a drone, which, to be honest, the tree is going to be in the way. So in my professional opinion, what I believe that we do is we knock back that group photo until just the start of the reception, at the front of the reception venue, and then we can shoot there where everybody's nice, it's golden light and everything else, and it's going to be seamless and easy, and it's going to make your day really easy. What do you say? And then they're going to say, well, Jai, I didn't even think about that. Thank you so much. So what I did there is I agreed with them. I agree, that's a great idea. And then I gave my professional opinion or maybe what we could do that's going to elevate that. Does that make sense? So just really important when we're agreeing, we're not, like, I'm not going to say, like, I disagree, we shouldn't do a love heart thing, that's lame, you know, I've seen people do it on Pinterest, you know, I'm not going to disagree with them. I agree, that is good, I'm glad that you like that, I'm glad that you found that, I'm glad that you've been doing your research, I'm glad that you've been looking at Pinterest, I'm glad you've been looking at my competitors, make sure you make a mood board, like, I want you to have all that together, absolutely. But based on my professional opinion of shooting a lot of weddings, like, I'm going to let you know that the best case scenario is not going to be the love heart under the tree. Okay, so see how I just like brought it around there? So you're going to get them on the same path. So if you don't do that, what happens is if you say, I disagree, I don't think that we should have a shoot with under the tree in a love heart shape with all your guests, like I just don't think we should do that, then what's going to happen is you're not validating their ideas, their good ideas, and you're not listening to them because they're saying something to you. Maybe what they're saying is we want something really cool and different for our group photo and you just didn't even listen. So it's going to go on to my last point, but we need to listen to these little cues. If someone says that to me straight away, I'm like, ooh, they're looking for something unique and congratulations to them for coming up with an idea and congratulations to them for bringing it to me. You know, so I'm thinking of these things. I'm like, good. Thank you so much for thinking of an idea. Thank you so much for making that mood board. Okay, I've got some ideas based off your mood board, based off all of your ideas. Like, well done, okay? So I want you to think about that. When you're talking to your clients, like how can you agree with them and then guide them, like we talked about before, to your professional opinion? Because don't forget, you are the professional, otherwise it wouldn't be coming to you. If you're listening to this right now, okay? Number six, never use a word like hope or any other word that's not going to instill confidence. I see this often, like I wasn't even going to include this, but I see this so often where someone's like, yeah, I hope the weather's good. I hope this all works out and, you know, whatever it is. I hope it's a good deal. I hope we show up. Like hope, just the word hope. I just do not like the word hope. I like a hope as in like I've got hope for myself, but I don't like it in a sales term where like you're giving somebody hope because hope is a wishy-washy way of saying, is it going to happen? I don't know. I'm hoping that it happens. So give confidence instead. Instead of hope is, yes, I'm going to make it happen. Or if you don't know, I do not know. Like say that, not say I hope that happens. Like I don't know. I'm going to work on this and I'm going to find the answer. I'm going to see what it is. Okay. I'm not hoping to do that. I am going to do that. So I am going to go and see what the weather's going to be. The weather might be bad. The weather might be good. I'm going to make a plan for both. I'm not hoping for anything. So I think this is really important because like people want confidence from you as a professional in whatever it is that you're doing. If you're a designer right now, you're designing up a website, you're like, I hope it's going to be finished by the end of May. I hope it's going to be this color palette. I hope the website works well. I hope that the developer on the website is going to get it done in time. Like, don't say those things. You say, the website developer will get things done in time. I'm going to follow them up and make sure it happens. Okay. But just to let you know, it's out of my control because it's actually a subcontractor. So if you said that, it's a completely different game than saying like, I hope that it happens. And then you leave them questioning your judgment of being a professional and it's just not going to go anywhere. So number seven, this one actually I got from the last time I traveled around the US and I noticed a lot of people said this, but it's literally a simple phrase that I absolutely love is I got you. And that's it. Man, so often, like, it's just such a, like, in the service industry, especially as a service provider, like, you know, I do business coaching or wedding photography, like, just the phrase, I got you. If someone comes to me, Jai, what about if it's bad weather? I got you. That's all I need to say. Don't worry, I got you. Jai, the prices are too high. I got you. Okay? We've got different packages. I'm going to work something out. It's going to work on your budget. How's that sound? Good, Jai. Yes. See? So from there, I'm just going, like, I agree. And I've got you. And then I ask them a question that answers in yes. So I do believe, like, you know, little things like that, you know, even with my staff members, if my staff members say, like, one of the most endearing things that someone could say to me is me saying, okay, I would like to outsource this to you. Maybe you can work on this funnel for me. If they write back and said, I got you, then I'm like, that person deserves a bonus. That person deserves, like, way more. Like, if that's all they wrote back. Instead, what most people write back is like, what time do you want me to do it? Like, can you please put that into Notion or Asana? Can you please make it brief? Can you do this? What are you thinking about that? How much is your budget? How much is this? And it's like leads to more problems. It becomes really hard. So I got you means there's nothing hard at all. That person is taking that weight off your shoulders and that's great sales. So that you can use that across everything. Okay, number eight. Sales is energy. You know, I talked about this before, but it's like delivering a message and meeting your clients where they're at, you know? So if your client walks through the door and they're just super excited and they're eager to commission you on an art piece or to get you to design their website or to get you to DJ at their wedding or to get you to be their videographer or get you to photograph their birth or whatever it is, when they come through the door and they've got their credit card ready, they're energized and they're excited about the situation. The only time that they're not is when you come along and then you start second guessing your prices. And then, yeah, they just don't know where to go from there. So when you think about that, you need to meet them where they got their energy at. And so it's the same as the way that we speak. You know, when I'm showing up and I'm going through like a sales pitch, of course, I'm happy, I'm open body language. I'm usually smiling. Like, I will go through and just be like, what are you looking for? I'll ask those right questions, but I will make sure that I'm matching their energy. It's really important to match someone's energy. It's kind of like, I actually heard Alex Hormozi talk about this not too long ago. And he said, like, he was given an analogy where there's like so there's an angry person that came into the shop and then the salesperson got angry with her. And then she stop getting angry because it was ridiculous, both of them being angry. And so he called it the angry boat and said, there's only can be one person in the angry boat, never two. And I actually think, you know, it's the same sort of thing, you know, with your energy. It's like if someone comes in and they're angry, like, well, you need to be angry with them, you know, agree with them, be angry with them. Like, Jai, I'm just annoyed that like everything costs so much. I'm looking for a designer, but it's just so expensive. Like, I agree. It is so expensive. It's so expensive to have a beautifully designed website that like gets us converting more. And all we want to do is get more sales at the end of the day. We want those big conversions. Why is it so damn hard? And then they will probably go like, yeah, well, at least I'm here and we're making amends. Hey, and at least we're going to build this thing. And then you're like, I agree. Let's build something. Let's put together that plan. Let's make it happen. So think about your energy, the way that you're showing up, where your shoulders are, like everything, like when you're speaking to someone, because you're instilling confidence here. You don't want to instill especially feelings of like you're not sold on yourself, you're not worthy, you've got imposter syndrome, you wouldn't even buy from you, you know, like any of these things. Like you want people to be so confident when they're handing over their credit card. And in fact, you know, a lot of clients that I've worked with, they've literally had clients themselves thank them for taking their credit card. Like, thank you, Jai, for, you know, to their friends. I remember Justine Misson, actually, if you're listening, shout out to you, Justine. I remember you saying this to me on a podcast episode in season one. that your clients came through and they actually say, thank you, Justine, for making that so easy. Here's my credit card. Thank you for charging that credit card. Thank you for making it so easy. Thank you for the upsells. And that's where we want to be with our clients. And it's because you're matching the same energy. Justine, I haven't talked to you in ages. Shout out. Okay. Number 9 is set expectations with time. This one's an interesting one, but I think it works really well. An example of this is if you're going to tell a story and you start digressing and just sort of going on a bit of a tangent, it can really kill sales. Or another example is, well, I'll continue on that. An example of that is like, if I want to share a story with you, I could say, hey, I'd love to share a story with you and talk about exactly this thing. It's going to take about 5 minutes. Like, do you have time? They might say, yeah, or they might say no. And you go, good. If you don't have time, sweet. If you do have time, then you're good. Then you get into the story and make sure it's 5 minutes, okay? Doing this helps set expectations. It stops people from getting bored and they know there's an end in mind and you're not just ranting on. It works for so many different things. I do it all the time. Like, hey, I've actually got a story on this. Would you like to hear from me? It's going to take about 2 minutes. I'm like, yeah, Jai, that sounds good. Let's go. Okay, so then you know you got that time frame. It works really well in communication. But another thing is like when I did my consultation calls when I was a wedding photographer, I would make sure that people had literally like 29 minutes to meet with me. And I was very strict on the time. So if they're late, you wouldn't get extra time. Like, so if they're 20 minutes late, then you literally have 10 minutes left with me. And because of that reason that I was so strict on the time, people would always show up on time. And then it was like the perfect workflow with sales because they wouldn't be like, what's happening next? And I'm just been sitting here for an hour and I don't have any answers. So they know the urgency now that they need to get to the answers. And so you can have some banter, small talk and everything. And it's like, let's get to the hard hitting facts that you want to know. The reason why you're here, let's sign that contract, let's swipe that credit card, let's make it happen. Let's get excited. Let's book in your photographer. So setting expectations with time like that, with how long you're going to be talking with them, how much time you're going to give them is really going to change the game. And if you don't believe me and you think you should give everyone the time in the world, all the time in the world, think about like if you went to a hairdresser and they just said like, yeah, come in and we're just going to, I'll cut your hair for like 3 hours and you can come in at any time. Like you're going to think, one, what's wrong with the hairdresser? Two, like what a waste of time it was. Three, I'm just confused. Like there is nothing positive in that situation where your hairdresser, the more expensive they are, they're like, we can fit you in 2 weeks time at 2 p.m. and you're here for 45 minutes. How does that sound? And you're like, perfect. Thank you so much for giving me clarity. I'm glad that I'm not lost and confused and I know now when I need to be there. Does that make sense? So setting expectations just in general, but especially with time, people's time is so valuable. So if someone came to me and they're like, Jai, I want to join the business map, and they said like, you got 3 minutes to sell it to me. I'm like, 3 minutes? I only need 30 seconds. Let's go. You know, so sometimes people set expectations with me and then I'm like, that's perfect. Or I'll set it to them. They'll say, Jai, I'd love to jump on the call and talk about the business map. I'm like, good. It only takes 3 minutes. Like, seriously, John, that's amazing. You can do that in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. It takes me literally 30 seconds to look at your business and I can see where you could double your money. Like, it doesn't take long. I can look around, look at the language that your website, your marketing, like, I've done it for thousands of people. I can rinse and repeat. It's literally business's repeatable process that you can do. It's kind of like if a chef, if you don't believe me, like, have a look at a chef, watch a master chef will come cruising in and they can taste the food and they know what's wrong with it. It's burnt, it's been cooked for too long, it's not cooked for long enough. Like, it's not like they have to be there all day to see what the chef's doing and what the other chefs are doing. They already know what's wrong with it. They can see it. There's no sugar in it. There's no salt in it. You're missing, it's not on the plate. It's cold. It's too hot. There's too much chili in it. Like, you know instantly. So with business for myself, it's like, I only need to look at the business for 30 seconds. I know instantly where the leads are not coming through and what they need to be doing. So really interesting thing, but just like setting expectations. Number 10, you made it all the way to the end, but it's like learn to listen. And I know so many of you guys are out there thinking right now, well, that's an easy one, Jai. You just don't say anything. It's not easy. And especially actually my male audience, I don't want to generalize and say like, you know, all males don't listen, but I do want to say it takes work to have the empathy to stop and to actually listen and listen properly. When I say listen, like I'm talking active listening, not listening, thinking about what are you going to say next? What's your sales script? You know, what did they ask? What was their budget? Like anything like that, like actively listening. things that you can do to show them that you're listening is, one is you can repeat things back to them. So someone might say like, Jai, your prices are too expensive. I only want you for a half a day as a wedding photographer. And I'll say back like, yeah, I agree. My prices are too expensive. And I understand you only want me for half a day. Is that right? They're like, yeah. So what I did there is I agreed. And then I answered back with a question that answers in yes. And I repeated the thing back to them. So now that they know. But everyone needs something different as well. It's like, you know, the reason why I say males are not so good, because like males don't really listen. They like to fix problems. So, you know, you probably know this if you're a male and you're talking to your partner, or if you've got a partner that's a male and you're like, well, I just want to share my thoughts and feelings with him. And then he's just quickly trying to fix the problem. So we try and fix the problem, but we try and do that in sales as well. So quickly fix the problem. But sometimes people just want to digress and they just want to share, and they want to share their feelings. And they want to share how they feel. They want to share their complaints with you, and that's okay. And so I think it's really important to have that conversation, but actually listen. Another tip with listening is like thanking people for sharing with you. You know, so an example of this is someone might say, well, Jai, your prices are too high for the six-figure business map. My response to that could be like, hey, thank you so much for sharing that with me. And I agree. It is expensive to level up your business. Now let's talk about it. Okay, so if I thank them for sharing, or thank them for telling me that, or thank them for, you know, whatever it is. So maybe someone gives me a compliment. It's like, thank you for saying that. You know, saying these little things, like that means I'm accepting the compliment and I'm taking it on. And I'm also thanking them for the service and the gift that they just gave me. So when you're thinking about communication and you want to listen, I'm talking about real listening. I'm not talking about you listening where, you know, sales scripts in the back of the mind. You're thinking about other things. You're thinking about what happened last weekend, whatever it is. Like I'm talking, your phone's on flight mode. You're not checking anything else. You're not looking at notifications, and you're sitting there and you're looking at your clients, and you've got good body language. You're meeting their energy and you're just simply listening. It's all you need to do. They're going to tell you everything. And if they tell you everything, then they're sold, because people that don't tell you anything, they're the ones that are not sold. They're skeptical. So they're not going to open up to you. The second they start opening up to you, then they're sold, and they'll only do that when they know that you're listening. People don't buy because they understand your product. People will buy from you because they understand that you understand them. And that is the easiest way to do it. And I know that's going to change the game. Thank you so much for listening to Jai Long. This is Make You Break. Don't forget, if you can help me by sharing this on social media at jailong.co, it makes my day when I do see you sharing the podcast. It really does. And thank you so much. And if you do have any questions about sales, by the way, submit them in. There's a Google form down below. And if you submit them in, I'll play those questions or things that have worked for you or funny stories when it comes to sales. Submit them down below in the Google Doc, and I'll play that on the next episode.